Hello, and welcome to the Bending the Benefits Cost Curve podcast. My name is Malcolm Millward. I'm the Director of Market Insight and Thought Leadership for Group Benefits here at Sun Life. With me today is Mary Chantelle Côté, Vice President of Market Development for Group Benefits. MC, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much, Malcolm. It's a real pleasure to be here with you today.
And thank you for being with us, MC. So I think a good place to start is to explain to our listeners what we mean by bending the benefits cost curve, because it's not a familiar term to people. So MC, could you give us a high-level description of what we mean by this at Sun Life?
Oh yeah, for sure. So bending the benefits cost curve is all about thinking differently and innovating in order to disrupt the rising cost to provide a workplace group benefit plan. So over the last few years, there's been quite a few forces that have impacted the cost of benefits that employers provide to their employees. Some of these forces have been aging workforce, the increasing incidence of chronic disease, and the emergence of high-cost drugs. And those have had, over the last few years, if we look at the slope of the benefits cost, so how much it costs for employers to provide benefits, these forces have changed the slope upward at a different degree than we've seen in the past. So that is the cost curve. We are trying to bend this cost curve because we believe that this steep rise in cost is not something that cannot be prevented or not something that can be corrected. So we can and we are disrupting these rising costs through initiatives like health consumerism, negotiating discounts with drug manufacturers, fighting fraud. These are things that we're putting in place to have a positive outcome on that curve, and that is what we called bending the benefits cost curve.
Excellent. Can you tell us a little bit more, MC, about some of the initiatives that underpin our bending the benefits cost curve strategy? I know we have several things in flight, and I'd be excited to hear about just a little bit more about what they are to give our listeners a flavor of what we're doing in real life on the ground right now.
Let's do it.
Great. So let's start with health consumerism. Health consumerism is about empowering plan members with information and tools to help them identify products and services that best suit their needs, and their needs based on both quality, so quality of the provider, and also price, finding the best price. Basically, the goal of health consumerism then is to really enable members or empower them to become more involved in their own health and healthcare decisions. So, MC, can you tell us about how Sun Life is helping plan members do this?
For sure, for sure. And you talked about a really important point in terms of bending the benefits cost curve. One of the principles under that thought leadership we've put in place is that there's different stakeholders in the ecosystem that can all play a key role. This one here is around the members, so the employee. There's things that sponsors can do. There's things that Sun Life can do as well. So when we talk about employees, what we believe is that there's a significant role for them to play in terms of lowering the cost of benefits plan. So really, as we know, members, employees, do have a financial contribution when they leverage a service, whether it be through a copay, deductible, etc. Plan members do have to pay a certain amount of dollars when they see a provider. So keeping that in mind, we believe that there is an opportunity to help educate and provide information to plan members. One of the things that we've noticed over the last year or so as we've looked at more data and insights is that we always knew that, but now we spent more time looking at the data. So now let's start talking about how the plan member can have a significant impact on bending the cost curve. At its core, what we're looking to do there is to educate plan members to be strong and good health consumers by providing more information, as you mentioned, on quality and on costs. In a majority of their plans, whether it's through co-payments or exceeding annual maximum, plan members do have an out-of-pocket cost. So we believe that if we're more transparent and provide more information, we empower plan members to make decisions that help them reduce their out-of-pocket as well as the cost of the entire plan. So the specific way that we look to do that is we have an industry leading tool that is offered digitally through mobile and through our website that allows plan members, employees, to have access to all of the providers that have been leveraged by other plan members with an overlay of the cost indicators. So you can see providers geographically close to you, so you can use the geographic location, the geolocalization of your device. So you can find providers that are near you. You can find providers based on cost, so you have the $1 sign, $2 sign, $3 sign, where one is lower cost, $3 is higher cost, as well as the ratings on the quality, to your point. So you can find out what all of your other all of your peers amongst all other plans have rated these providers. You can find out that information. So basically, you can find in a click a provider near you that is low cost and high quality. This is all based on the theory that plan members can play a strong role in bending the cost curve for themselves, for their own costs, and for the cost of the plan.
Thanks, MC. You know, I can say from my own experience, provider search is a great tool. It's also one that's unique to us in the industry. And you know, members love it too. So I think last year, I believe, it was used over 2 million times, actually.
Yes.
So a lot of great uptake there. So I'd like to move on to talk a little bit about the farm care sphere, and specifically product listing agreements, or PLAs, as they're known. So many of our listeners might not know this, but as Canadians, we pay some of the highest prices for drugs in the world for prescription medications, patented prescription medications. There's an OECD stat that shows that in Canada we pay on average 20% more than the average OECD country. So of course, drug costs, you can see how they're a direct and significant impact on group benefit plans, because as you likely know, drug costs are the number one expense to group benefit plans. So, when we look to that pipeline of specialty drugs in development and coming to market, we can see that this is going to be increasingly an issue in terms of high cost drugs and drug plan sustainability. So, can you tell us a little bit more about how product listing agreements are playing a key role in helping keep drug plans sustainable?
For sure. And on this one, when you talk about drugs, again, back to what we discussed earlier, the fact that there's multiple stakeholders that can play a role. So plan sponsors can, of course, play a role in this piece by introducing some of our features available at the plan design level, like mandatory generic substitution. And we have a whole series of things we put in place for plan sponsors to help manage costs at a drug level while still allowing for great access and helping Canadians live healthier lives. But we also have a significant role to play from an insurer perspective, being the largest private payer in Canada. We have a scale that we can and should be using in terms of negotiating what we call PLAs, product listing agreements, with the manufacturers. So we focus our effort, of course, because there's a quite large amount of drugs and new drugs coming to the market. We talk about biologics and gene therapies coming around the corner. So we focus on things like diseases where there's numerous treatment options that have equal clinical efficacy, allowing us to have options and therefore negotiate. High volume, low to mid cost therapies. And of course, new drug or indication that have a material impact on our plans. And it's really clear that this has a significant impact to plan sponsors and to all of us and to plan members in terms of access, in that since we've introduced these negotiations, we've now saved plan sponsors over $130 million. So that's since 2014, so in about 5 years, this is the amount of savings that have been generated for plan sponsors while still allowing access to drugs for people who need them and for Canadians. So we're not done on this. There's a lot of drugs in the pipeline, and we have a team dedicated focusing on these negotiations, and we're still targeted to deliver hundreds of millions of dollars in savings for plan sponsors over the next few years.
Wow, that's amazing. Really, really exciting. Building on that excitement, I know we have a couple of examples of healthcare innovations that we wanted to speak to today. So could you tell us a little bit more about two innovations? So I'm thinking of online cognitive behavioral therapy, so online CBT, and pharmacogenomics, and the potential that those innovations have to provide more efficient forms of therapy and care delivery for our plan members.
Wonderful, yeah, for sure. And what's amazing about those types of examples is that they meet so many goals and purposes. So they allow us to bend the cost curve in that they often are great great value for the services, and we'll talk about the two examples. But there's also access to care. There's also helping Canadians live healthier lives. Like, there's a variety of wonderful outcomes from these innovations that the team has developed. So let's talk, as you suggested, the online CBT. So that is a form of psychotherapy. So a cognitive behavioral therapy really helps patients manage feelings of distress by changing the way they think and behave, hence the cognitive and behavioral components. And it's really often used to treat anxiety or depression. And the CBT part can be done either in person or through some virtual mechanism. As you can imagine, there's some barriers to in-person CBT, whether that be cost or access. And from an access perspective, could be things like geographical access limitations, could be long wait times, and could be fear of stigma of publicly going to see somebody, or even your own condition that's preventing you from just getting out of the house at the onset. And then there's the cost, which sometimes makes access a little bit less affordable. So what we've looked at is, with an online CBT program, the plan member can complete the therapy on the web through self-paced modules. Really now it's in the comfort of your home. It's with a therapist assigned to monitor and consult. The efficacy has been deemed to be equivalent for low to medium types of mild to moderate anxiety and depression. And it's significantly less expensive. So now that's something, as we look at, for example, disability absences, can help shorten this, can help prevent this, and can also, and more importantly, can help plan members, employees feel better faster and go back to living their full lives. In terms of pharmacogenomics, that's super exciting, because now we're talking about genetic, leveraging science, etc. So again, we'll talk about a use case here. I'm sure that many people are aware that when a person has a mental health situation and needs to be treated with some medication, the efficacy is not always the same person by person, even a person demonstrating the same symptoms. Hence the genetic component of how one metabolizes the active components of the drug. So what we're definitely doing there is we're actually leveraging genetic testing through some partners, a simple cheek swab, so really simple procedure, through which then a genetic makeup is done to determine how one will respond to a given drug. These are results that are shared with the physician, and then the physician can therefore determine which drug in the full spectrum of available drugs is best suited to help the patient get better faster. So here what is really happening is, instead of the usual trial and error process, one physician is guided through science, through your own genetic makeup, to determine in a scientific fashion what drugs should be better for you. And the report that the doctor sees has the green drugs, the yellow drugs, the red drugs. So, you know, green should be best fit, yellow so-so fit, red maybe not best fit. So it really replaces a cycle that lasts many months often with something shorter and much more effective. So for example, if you think of a person with depression for whom it takes a few cycles to find the right medicine, it leaves them weeks or sometimes months without symptom relief, or even worse, the condition can deteriorate because there's not the right medicine treating it. So what this does here, pharmacogenomics can actually help find the right medication quickly, and again, in terms of a group benefits context, can lead to better outcome from a health perspective for employees, cost savings for the benefits plan, reduce the entire cost and disability, improve productivity, and have healthier employees. So at Sun Life, we're the first industry to participate in a pharmacogenomics study that was focused on mental health related to disability claims. The results have been quite promising, so we are now going ahead and embedding pharmacogenomics in our disability management toolkit, and this will also be an industry first. So really exciting to keep giving you updates on those two innovations, many more to come and many more already in play.
Excellent, well, we'll certainly stay tuned then. Fraud risk management is another topic I wanted to address, MC. So we know that fraud is a big issue in our industry. Estimates peg losses at fraud annually in the hundreds of millions of dollars, in fact. So it's definitely a big deal. It leads to higher prices for everyone, including the plan sponsor and right down to the plan member themselves. So can you speak to what Sun Life is doing to combat fraud? Mm-hmm.
And active fraud, the numbers you've talked about, again, that's some numbers you've seen here, but that is something that's top of mind for all insurance providers as we think about bending the benefits cost curves and as we think about sustainability. What we believe is to effectively fight fraud, all of the insurers and us being the largest private payer need to have strong, dedicated teams of professionals, which include data scientists, billing specialists, ex-law enforcement professional, trained investigators, et cetera, who really focus on this and have the different expertise required to be able to tackle this. We also knew, and we focus on that, to leveraging the latest technology, the analytics tools that identify outliers, different scenarios, things that look odd, and high-risk providers and plan members, so that there's early intervention and investigation. A data that I came across recently that surprised me is that the CLHIA estimates that more than 80% of benefits fraud is committed by healthcare and other providers, either working independently or in collusion with plan members. So providers need to be an important focus of prevention activities. And when an insurer finds and detects these suspicious activities and they're proven to be true, there must be action taking place fast to delist these providers. What is delisting? It means stop to accept claims from these providers. And the number one reason why we should do that is to prevent more fraudulent activities from occurring. So right now, there's more than 1,800 providers that have been delisted since 2014. And if these providers had continued to be listed, so be providers we paid claims for, this would have cost our sponsors more than $100 million. So in order to ensure that Canadians and employees live healthier lives and that plans continue to be strong and provide a lot of value, it's important to manage fraud.
Yeah, definitely fraud is a serious issue that the industry is facing, but if you look at Sun Life's actions, I know that we can be confident that we're doing all that we can to help mitigate it. So that's great. Thank you for outlining that to us, MC.
We're very proud of that.
As we should be. So last but not least, I want to talk about provider discounts. So many healthcare providers are interested in partnering with us by creating special offers or discounts in exchange for their products or services being featured to group members. So you can imagine we have an audience of about 3 mm-hmm. million mm-hmm. Plan members that they can market to. So this is very enticing for them. From the from the sponsor and plan member side, there's an obvious opportunity for savings here and provide additional value by having them have access to these types of offers. MC, can you tell us more about this opportunities like this and what Sun Life is doing to realize these opportunities?
Yes, again, being the largest private payer in Canada, we have an important role to play in negotiating these provider discounts, but also by evaluating and vetting these partners to ensure quality, and then monitoring the impact on plan and on plan member costs. So for plan members and for Canadians to navigate the ecosystem of different capabilities can be a little bit complex. So in addition to us leveraging our scale to offer the best possible value, we take the time to really assess those partners and assess the tools and the capabilities to make sure that they hit the mark and drive the outcomes. And within that group, we could talk here about discounts or special offers for voluntary benefits. So voluntary benefits are products and services not typically covered by traditional plans, but the plan members can choose to purchase them with their own money, and there's often a cost-effective way of doing so. They all offer a great opportunity to add value for the plan members and for the plan sponsors. These offers don't cost anything more for the plan sponsors, but they provide plan members with additional choice and cost savings. They also really do promote and encourage healthier behaviors and lifestyle choices. For example, we have some examples around fitness training, consultations with nutritionists, or even the options to purchase critical illness or additional life insurance. Plan members in those scenarios, they'll use their own money to purchase their benefits, or they also have PSAs, personal spending accounts, for qualifying purchases, if, of course, this is part of the plan. And the personal spending accounts or the health spending accounts, just to open a small parenthesis, are trends we're seeing as well in terms of continuing to provide value, et cetera. So this is a great example of how one can leverage a personal spending account towards living a healthier life. One example that maybe I can use is Aliquin Vision. So as we know, there's a whole bunch of providers out there for glasses and frames, et cetera. But we were able to negotiate some great rates with Aliquin. For example, for $155, plan members can purchase single vision eyeglasses. And $155 is often lower than most plan maximums. And we looked at the data and we saw that in general, for plan members who chose to use the Aliquin offers, they saved an average 39%. So $155 is really the lowest cost for the glasses, but in general, almost 40% saving from leveraging the discount that we negotiated. This is available on Sun Life's Marketplace. Marketplace is where we put all of that series of discounts and health products and services. We're building that over time, but we're thoughtful, as we mentioned earlier, in terms of validating and vetting what's there, and even removing opportunities that may not be best suited as we learn more from employees.
Fantastic. Marketplace is a great resource, and I'm really looking forward to seeing it grow. Well, I think we've covered a lot of ground today, and I'm sure we've given folks listening a lot to think about. And MC, from you, I'd like to thank you for being here and speaking with us, and just wanted to know if you had any final thoughts before we wrap things up.
Thank you, Malcolm. Thank you for having me on this podcast. I think by simply closing, I think that while there is a threat to plan sustainability, and it's a strong threat, we're hearing about it from plan members and plan sponsors. We're hearing, I don't know if we mentioned that earlier, but that based on a survey done in the Conference Board of Canada in 2019, the number one short-term and long-term priority for plan sponsors as it relates to the plans is the sustainability of the plan. So we know that it's a threat, but we know that it's a challenge we can rise to. We're using new strategies, we're using technologies to identify and act on inefficiencies and savings opportunities like the ones we discussed today. And we show that we can disrupt the rising benefits plan costs and protect plans well into the future. For one, I'm really proud of our capabilities and the savings we've been able to demonstrate today.
Well, thank you again, MC. And to those of you listening, thank you very much for joining us today. If you want to learn more about this topic, you can download our Bending the Benefits Cost Curve Bright Paper. It's available at sunlife.ca/brightpapers. And that's it for us. Thank you again for joining us, and have a great day.
Thank you.